Well, I think the main problem, really, with the long-running conflict involving Israel and the Palestinians is that it's profoundly imbalanced. And Israel is really playing an oppressive role, serially disregarding international law, carrying on an illegal military occupation of Palestinian territory, grabbing ever more land, imposing intolerable conditions on the Palestinian population, keeping Gaza in a state of siege, and generally carrying on in disregard of majority world political opinion. Now, it gets away with it because the United States acts as its chief arms dealer and diplomatic patron, and unfortunately, countries like Australia have often, not always, but often, lined up behind Washington to give that signal as well.
Have you been surprised by the level of anger represented in the Australian and Telegraph newspapers, which has gone on for many, many days? How many articles have they done now?
Well, I've lost count of how many articles they've done, but there's certainly been plenty of it. And no, I'm not in the least bit surprised, because, you see, there is a transition underway. The shift is visible in the number of countries, including many Western European Union countries, who voted a couple of weeks back at the UN in favour of granting observer status to the Palestinians. Pro-Israeli lobbies around the world are panicked at that, and they are desperate to try any measure to demonize people who criticize Israeli militarism and lawlessness. And one of their common tactics is to smear people like me as racist, to suggest that we can only possibly hold the views we do because we are pursuing some undeclared campaign to vilify Jews or to vilify Israelis, which is complete balderdash, but it's a smear that keeps being repeated in order to try to damp down and marginalize criticisms of Israel.
But do you think
those powerful interests are well connected with News Limited?
Some people have said that you're taking a courageous position and under a lot of pressure, but I guess in some ways maybe this would work. What other academic is going to stand up to 10 days of front page coverage from a national newspaper? Isn't the message now, if you put your head up and support BDS, there will be repercussions?
Well, one has to have a rhino skin, certainly, but we're still here. And let me re-emphasize, we're motivated because of the huge gap between what are supposed to be the standards of public life in an open society, a democracy like Australia, and the actions of the Australian government in effectively condoning Israel's illegal behavior. You know, Australian leaders cozy up to Israel and they release comments supportive of Israel. But let's remind ourselves, Israel carried out an illegal bombardment of Gaza 3 or 4 years ago and killed well over 1,000 people, many of them were children, and since then it's been keeping Gaza under a state of siege. Now, it says publicly that its motivation for doing that is its own security, but we know from WikiLeaks that behind the scenes, Israeli officials were telling people at the US embassy the purpose of that siege is to keep the economy of Gaza on the brink of collapse. Now, that's a collective punishment. That's outlawed by the Fourth Geneva Convention, and it's a war crime. Israel's illegal separation fence was declared so by the World Court in 2004. So all responsible governments should be speaking out against these abuses.
Some critics of the BDS say that referring to Israel as an apartheid state is ludicrous. What would your response to that be?
Well, I have a document on my computer desktop, which runs to several hundred pages, and it was contributed to by, I think, about a dozen eminent, qualified experts in law and political science from around the world, including several from South Africa. And what they're doing is launching a major investigation of all Israel's policies, and they're not merely using apartheid as a metaphor. They're not merely using the word to remind us of the political issues around apartheid in South Africa. They're using the UN definition of apartheid, and they come up with the finding that the way Israel treats the Palestinians is entirely in keeping with that definition. So just as the world took action over apartheid, and let's not forget, there were very few people in the first place who wanted to do things like boycott tours of Australia by the Springboks rugby team, for example, but they were ultimately vindicated. There are not all that many of us here in Australia. There are many more overseas who are supporters of BDS, But I'm confident that ultimately we will be vindicated as well.
Another criticism made of the BDS movement and your position as well is that academics and connections between international academics should be promoted because it fosters understanding.
Well, I think there is abundant understanding. Part of the problem with Israel is it keeps on going around trying to cloud the understanding. For example, the last time we took action under our support for BDS as a centre was when the University of Sydney played host to an Israel Research Day. This was last year. Now, this was a completely bogus event. It was rattling through topics from kind of crop development to the Dead Sea Scrolls in the course of a couple of hours. There's no serious academic research intent behind it. What it was about was trying to get the international community to shift focus away from Israel's treatment of the Palestinians and to begin to regard Israel as a place where, oh, they have such an interesting film industry, or they have all these innovative ways to cool houses in hot weather, that kind of thing. It's part of what's called public diplomacy. Now, the Foreign Affairs Ministry of Israel pursues this policy with guidance from a huge document produced by the Samuel Nieman Center at Technion University, Haifa. This was academics putting themselves in the service of a concerted programmatic propaganda campaign by Israel to try to shift the world's attention away from the issues that the world community rightly wants addressed as a matter of urgency.
So despite the pressure, you personally will not back down?
Well, we have taken a principled stand. And let me tell you, I've received abundant messages of support from people in the Australian community who fundamentally agree with the proposition that while the Australian government flirts with the extreme pro-Israeli fringe of world political opinion, that's by no means reflective of the balance of public opinion here in Australia.